Woo!
Good. Praise the Lord. Wow, God is good. I'm so thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the privilege of being able to teach the Word of God, to pray for people, to be part of what God is doing in the world. And wow, I pray you as well will really find that place that God has for you. The place where your anointing and authority will be greatest. And this is where God is leading us as a body. Let's pray together. Father, what a privilege it is to be here. Thank you for all that you are doing. Thank you that you are Lord of the nations. And you are ordering events according to your sovereign will. And we say tonight, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly and fully establish your kingdom that will rule and reign forever. This is what we ask. Lord, we await that day where we'll be face to face with you, Jesus. In your presence forever. That is our joy. That is the fulfillment of our heart's longing and desire. Is to be with you forever. And we thank you now that you've given us the Holy Spirit, which is a foretaste of what is to come. And we ask that the Spirit tonight would anoint your word. Your Spirit tonight would bring your word alive in our lives. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. We pray that you would complete the work that you have begun. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk tonight about keeping our hearts pure. Because do you know that there is no other person alive and there is no power on this earth that can stop God's plan for your life if you keep your heart pure? That is a great truth. Your past does not dictate your future. God does. And I like that song, Waymaker, because part of the message is that God will make a way where there is no way to bring about his sovereign plan in our lives for the glory of his name. And that's what we want to believe tonight. And so I want to talk tonight from the life of Joseph. I want to talk about how God was able to turn things around. Because Joseph struggled. He went through incredibly difficult situations, really, that had nothing to do with him. He was forced into places, but yet God made a way where there was no way to bring about his will for Joseph's life. I believe because Joseph kept his heart pure in the midst of difficult times. And our lives, a good part of our lives, is going to be based upon our responses. How we respond to the people who have hurt us. How we respond to difficult situations. And we want to see tonight how Joseph responded to very difficult times. And yet, nothing could limit God. That's the good thing. So I'm not going to read the life of Joseph tonight. I'm just going to tell it to you. But it's found in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37 all the way to Genesis chapter 50. And when we first meet Joseph, he's a young man of about 17 years of age, and he's his father's favorite. His father made him this really great coat, and all of his brothers are really jealous of him. And one night while he's sleeping, he has dreams. And the gist of the dreams is this, that one day his whole family is going to come and bow down to him. So he was beginning to get a glimpse of God's will for his life. He was beginning to get a glimpse of what the Lord had for him. But he wasn't going to be ready for this until God brought him through a valley, until God prepared him. And in the midst of this, God was able to bring about his plan for Joseph's life because Joseph responded well to difficult times. And so one day, Joseph's father comes to him and he says, I want you to go up and help your brothers who are working in the fields. He goes out into the fields, and we know what young people are like. His brothers already hate him, but he can't contain his dreams. And so he shares his dreams, and his brothers know what he's talking about. And so their anger grows. You can't believe that one day we're going to come and bow down before you. And so now they think, we have to get rid of this guy. We can't stand him any longer. And so they plot to kill him. But one of the brothers comes to his senses and he says, we can't kill him. So what do? They throw him into a pit. And at just the right time, Ishmaelite slave traders come by. And this is an opportunity to sell their brother. And so they take Joseph out of the pit, and Joseph is sold into slavery by his own family. He's rejected. He's wounded by them. And these slave traders take Joseph down into Egypt, where he is purchased by a very powerful man named Potiphar, who is captain of Pharaoh's guard. And he purchased Joseph for life. Joseph was his slave. Was this Joseph's dream? Was this his desire to be a slave? No. Joseph found himself in a very difficult place, a place he never thought he would arrive at, because his family rejected him. What about you tonight? Maybe you have found your place. Maybe you have found yourself in a place that is difficult tonight. And maybe it's not entirely your fault. Maybe, like Joseph, there were circumstances beyond your control that have brought you to this place in life. And maybe it feels inwardly or even outwardly like some form of slavery, some form of bondage that you're struggling with today. Well, listen to this. Let's read just a portion of Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, and I'm just going to read the first number of verses, and it says this, starting at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him from there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and so he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. And Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. What's the key there? I love when it says this, and the Lord was with him. It says that twice. Joseph is sold into slavery and God goes with him. The most powerful truth in your life is this: God is with you. God is with you in every situation of your life. And for you to come into an understanding, an intimate understanding every day of your life, God is with me. And because God is with us, it changes everything. That one thought, that one reality changes your whole life. God is with me. And because God is with me, all things are possible. Look at what happens to Joseph. Because God is with him in slavery, he finds favor in the eyes of Potiphar, and Potiphar puts him in charge of his whole household. And I want to say this to you tonight. You don't have to wait for your full transformation. You don't have to wait for your full healing. You don't have to wait for the circumstances of your life to get better in order to prosper. You can prosper today. You can be blessed by God today because God is with you right in the difficult time, and he wants us to grow where we're planted. He wants us to flourish even in the difficult times of our lives. Because God is with us, he will make a way where there is no way in the difficult times. So let's continue with the story. What happens next? Well, Potiphar's away a lot. And so Potiphar's wife is attracted to Joseph, and she tempts him. And what does Joseph say? He says, no, I will not sin against God this way. And so he rejects Potiphar's wife. She feels the rejection. And while Joseph is running away, she grabs his outer garment and keeps it. When her husband comes home, she says, "Look, look at what Joseph tried to do. He tried to seduce me." And Potiphar becomes enraged. He's angry. And he takes Joseph and he throws him into the king's prison. So he's falsely accused. Now he's in prison, beyond his control. He was righteous, and he finds himself imprisoned. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you've been falsely accused. Maybe you've been gossiped about. Maybe you've been misunderstood. And because of that, you find yourself in a difficult place. But what happened? Let's continue to read. Let's start reading in chapter 39, verse 19. It says this. When his master heard the story his wife had told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned in anger. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, listen to this, the Lord was with him. And he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. And the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph, and he gave him success in whatever he did. God was with him. Even in his prison, even in his slavery, even in the rejection, the false accusations, God was with Joseph. And I want to tell you tonight, God is with you. And I pray that that reality becomes the greatest reality of your life. You're not alone. Your life is not a series of random events. Your life is not out of control. Your life is not being dictated by those around you, by those in your life, by governments, by any power. Your life is in the hands of God. And God is with you. And God has already ordered your life. He already has a plan for your life. Just like Joseph. He began to speak to Joseph as a young man. "Joseph, this is my plan for you." And God never left Joseph's side. And God never leaves you. And I pray that every day, even before you get out of bed, you will be able to say, "God is with me." Wow. Throughout the day, "God is with me." What does that mean to you? The creator of the universe, the strong one, is with you at all times. And because God is with you, he is able to make a way where there is no way, to bring about his will for your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that right now, even in the difficult times, you can prosper? That you can have the favor of God in your home, in your workplace, with friends, opportunities that you don't even know exist, because God is with you. And God is not bound by the circumstances of our lives. God is not bound by the actions of others. God is not bound by our doubts and our fears and our pain. God is able to make a way. He's the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. That is our God. And so let's continue. We can finish our story, because I want to get to the crux of the matter, keeping our hearts pure in difficult times. So two more prisoners come into the prison, the king's baker and the king's cupbearer. And they both have dreams. And they find out Joseph is able to interpret their dreams. So they go to Joseph, they share their dreams, and he interprets them. And he says to the baker, "There's good news and bad news. The good news is you're getting out. The bad news is you're going to be put to death." And then he says to the cupbearer, you're going to get out of prison and you're going to be restored to your position as the king's cupbearer. And what does he say to the cupbearer? Please remember me. I don't deserve to be here. Just speak of me to the king. And what happens? He forgets. How much longer was Joseph in prison? 2 years. Two more years. That's a long time, because he wasn't important enough. He was forgotten and he was overlooked. Maybe you feel that way about yourself at times. I'm not important enough. People overlook me. People forget me. I don't get promoted. Maybe you consider yourself the least in your family. I don't know. But I do know one who never forgets you. One who always looks upon you. One in whose heart you always are. And that is God. And he is with you. And he is working on your behalf. And he is making a way. And he wants right now, even the 2 extra years in prison, for Joseph to flourish. For you to flourish. For you to be prosperous. To be blessed. To grow where you're planted. To have a harvest in the midst of your struggles and difficulties. This is the will of God for the glory of God. Imagine a prisoner was in charge of the prison. That's the favor of God, because nothing is impossible for God. So there's God's immediate will for your life, and there's God's long-term view of your life. And in both cases, his presence with you will make a way. So what happens next? Well, Joseph's in prison for 2 more years, and then Pharaoh has a dream. God's time is coming. And Pharaoh looks all over his kingdom to find someone who can interpret the dreams. And there's the cupbearer standing beside him. And he remembers Joseph and he says, I know someone. He's in your prison. His name is Joseph. And what happens next? The hand of God takes Pharaoh's hand, reaches down into prison, and lifts Joseph up. And there he stands before the most powerful man in the world. And Pharaoh shares his dream. And Joseph interprets the dream, and it's basically this. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, but we have to store up now so we have enough later. And Pharaoh goes, we need a wise man who can administrate all of this. And he looks at Joseph and he says, you're the man. And that morning he woke up in the prison and he went to bed in the palace, because God was with him. And God had a plan for Joseph's life. And there is no person alive, there is no power on the earth that can stop God's sovereign plan for your life. God will make a way where there is no way. Could Joseph's brothers stop God's plan? Could them selling Joseph into slavery stop God's plan? That's pretty serious, isn't it? No. Could Potiphar purchasing Joseph as a slave stop God's plan? No. Could the lies of Potiphar's wife stop God's plan? No. Could being forgotten about in prison stop God's plan? No. None of it could stop God. There is no other person alive. There is no power on the earth that can stop God's plan for your life. God will make a way where there is no way. But I want to say this. There is one person alive who can stop God's plan for your life. Do you know who that is? It's you. It's me. We are the only ones who can stop God's plan in our lives. And how do we do it? We do it by hardening our hearts. Hardening our hearts because of difficult times. The hard heart is the only thing that can hold back the river of God. Nothing else. And I want to share with you my testimony. That's really the main thing that I want to share with you tonight. Because I wasn't like Joseph for the first part of my Christian life. I didn't keep my heart pure in difficult times. I went through a very difficult time as a child. My father was an alcoholic. My parents got divorced. My dad went off and started another family and basically forgot about us. We were abused as children. My mom was abused. And we went through a very difficult time. And when my dad left home, basically when I was about 16 years of age, I hated him. And I began to blame my dad for every difficult situation in my life. I always had an excuse. Why wasn't I doing better? Why wasn't I getting ahead? Why wasn't I doing better at school and in these areas? Why didn't I have these strengths? And I could always look back and say, it's his fault. I blame my dad. If he had have been a better father, I would have prospered more. If he had have not left the family, I would have done better in this area. And I began to blame my dad and harden my heart towards him because of what he did. I didn't respond well to pain, to abandonment, to rejection. And you might say, well, you know what, Scott, that's just a normal human response. And that is exactly right. I was a Christian. And I began to slowly harden my heart more and more and more against my father and what he did and what he was continuing to do over the years. And I wasn't prospering. I wasn't flourishing. I wasn't doing well inwardly or outwardly. And I began to wonder why. What's going on, God? And of course, I had the answer. It was my dad's fault. If I had have had a better father, I would have done better in these areas of my life. But the truth is this. We can't control what other people do. We can only control our response. And our responses will set the course of our lives. And so as I grew older, I got married. As many of you know, my wife and I really struggled in our marriage for the first 7 years. And a big part of that was because my hard heart. I had bitterness. I had anger. I had unforgiveness in my heart. I had an accusing spirit towards my dad because of what he'd done. And then on my 38th birthday, many years after we got married, 15 years after we got married, we weren't doing very well. But the Lord came to me and he said this, Scott, you have to forgive your dad. And I said, Lord, I can't forgive him for what he's done. And I said, Lord, he's responsible for all of these things in my life. You know what the Lord showed me? He said this. He said, Scott, it's not your dad that's responsible for the lack of blessing. It's not your dad that's responsible for holding back my river in your life. It's your heart. And what he showed me was this, that I had built this wall, I had built this dam over many years, brick by brick by brick, a brick of unforgiveness, a brick of bitterness, a brick of accusing, a brick of judgments, a brick of blaming. And I built this giant wall over my heart that was holding back the blessings of God and the will of God for my life. That in fact, the thief was not my father, the thief was my heart. All the years of not responding well to not only what my father had done, but other negative things that happened in my life as well. And so one day, just lying on my bed, it was my birthday, I even said to my wife, my dad's not going to call me. He's forgotten about us. He doesn't care. And I was lying on my bed, and the Lord said, I want you to bring forgiveness to your father, to release him of your judgments and your bitterness. And I said, Lord, give me the grace, because I need grace. And I just felt the grace of God coming upon me. And then out of my mouth, I just began to forgive my father. I released him of all the things that he did. I let go of my bitterness and my anger and my judgments, and I really felt it leaving my heart. And then I got up and I went out for dinner with my wife for my birthday. And then when we got home, there was a message on the answering machine, and it was from my dad. And he said things I had never heard him say in my life about love, all sorts of things. Why? What had happened? The bricks were removed from the wall, and the river of life was starting to flow. The river of God's blessings was starting to flow into my life, into my relationship with my father. And all this time, I had believed a lie. My whole life, up until 38 years, I believed a lie. I was living out of a lie. That because of the damage of my childhood, all these negative things happened in my life. And in fact, the real thief was my heart. The real thief was my response. Why? Because whatever my dad did or didn't do, or anyone else, it cannot stop the move of God in my life. It cannot stop the grace of God. It cannot stop the prosperity of God. It cannot stop the blessing of God, the river of God flowing into my life, because God will make a way where there is no way. That's the truth. And the whole time I believed a lie, where the real thief was right here. This is the barrier that we carry around with us. And it robs us often of the abundant life that Jesus Christ wants to bring. You see, for Joseph, as we're going to see, he didn't carry this baggage. He wasn't blaming his brothers. He wasn't upset with Pharaoh or Pharaoh's wife or being overlooked. He kept his heart pure in the midst of difficult times. And God was able to lift him up and do extraordinary things through a man who responded well to adversity. And so the good news is this: God goes all the way. So my dad and my relationship was restored. We're very close today, but not only that, he became a Christian. He got saved. Not only that, at the age of 50, he went back to seminary to train to become a pastor. At the age of 54, he became a pastor of a church, and he pastored until he was 81. Why? Because God will make a way. Makes me cry. God will make a way where there is no way for me, for my dad, and for you. This is the heart of God. But what God is looking for is a partner, right? God is looking for us to team with him in our transformation, in his blessing coming to our lives, in keeping our hearts pure. We empower the work of God in our lives. It's not human effort that keeps our hearts pure. It's the grace of God and the strength of God, but it's a willingness to say, God, I want to keep my heart pure, free of all the blaming, all the accusations, all the hatred, the judgments, the unforgiveness that just seem to come in that quickly, right? And you know what? They do come in quickly, but the real problem is when they fester and they take a nest. We can react to things, but when we come before the Lord, we need to say, Lord, forgive me. I give you this unforgiveness, this bitterness because of what was said about me today at the office or what my friends did or didn't do. Forgive me for my reaction. I bless them. You know what that will do? That will empower God in such an extraordinary way, you won't even believe it. Look at what happened to Joseph. In his bondage, because he kept his heart pure, he flourished and prospered, and then he met his destiny. This is the greatest thief in human history. We see it all the time. We meet bitter people, don't we? People who are harboring unforgiveness. And rarely are they happy. Because this is the power that drives them, rather than the grace of God. And so I'm so thankful. My dad was given an opportunity to clean his heart before the Lord. Because what I found out is what many people found out, he was wounded too, right? He just didn't become an alcoholic by chance. He was really wounded and he didn't respond well, just like I didn't respond well. And so he wasn't being blessed by God until God came in his grace to my heart. And that opened the floodgates of the blessing of God to heal my relationship with my father. And through that, bring the gospel. And through that, get him into ministry. And through that, bless hundreds of people with his testimony and his story, because the bricks came out. And God will make a way where there is no way. But it's not by chance. That's what I want you to catch. It's by you teaming with the principles of God. It activates, if I can use that word about God, it activates his grace and his transforming power in our lives. This is the greatest battlefield you will ever face. Keeping your heart pure in the midst of difficult times. How's your heart tonight? Have you had something happen maybe in the past or maybe just recently and you've not responded well? Maybe tonight you're harboring some unforgiveness or maybe some bitterness towards another person. Maybe there's some judgments there in your heart towards another. Maybe anger. Maybe blaming like I had. That if only this was better, my marriage was better, my parents were better, my friends are better. If only this event hadn't happened to me, I would be further along. And I say, lies, lies, lies. That is the cage of the enemy to hold you into your pain and abuse and rejection and all of those things that came upon you, that they are the reason why God can't bless you. That is a lie of the devil. Because God can make a way in any situation. We see it in the scriptures over and over again. We hear it in the scriptures. We're going to hear it at the end of this passage where Joseph said, "You intended it for evil, but God used it for good." In Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's the gospel. That's the grace of God. That's the power of God to use evil and make it good for the glory of God. If God can't do that, there's no salvation. There's no redemption. And not one human being that has ever lived could have lived the will of God. Because we've all sinned. We've all been hurt. But God is after your heart tonight. He wants to clean it out. He wants to take the bricks out of your heart. Because God is looking for someone who will do what he did. Forgive. That's what God's looking for. Children that will be like their father. Jesus was falsely accused, wasn't he? Nailed to the cross. Convicted as a criminal. But what did he say? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's what God's looking for, a pure heart that he can empower to bring about his sovereign will for the glory of his name. So what about you tonight? Are there any bricks in your heart? Anything that may be holding back that river that God wants to run into your life and then through you into the lives of others. So Joseph is now second in command of all of Egypt. He's going to become a blessing to the nations. But let's read the very last chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50. And let's see the heart of Joseph. Let's see how Joseph responds to his brothers. So here's Joseph. He's the man in charge. He's the man with all the power. He can make any decision he wants. He can imprison anyone he wants. He can put anyone he wants to death. He's got the power. And now his brothers, who sold him into slavery, come to see him. What's his heart like? Let's read this. Genesis 50, starting at verse 15, it says this. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did against him?" Now, that's a good question, isn't it? Here's our brother, second in command of Egypt. We weren't very nice to him. And so they say this. So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sons of the servants of the God of your father." Listen to this. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him, fulfilling the dreams that God had given him at 17. And they said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. In my opinion, that is why Joseph was second in command of Egypt, even in spite of the difficulties he went through, because he had a heart after God. He had a pure heart that was willing to say, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to look after you and bless you and bless your children." So Joseph just didn't forgive them. He blessed them. He blessed those who hurt him. He blessed those who hated him. And this is what God is looking for. This is the place of freedom. This is the place of power. This is the place where God is able to do miracles. It is in this place of a pure heart that God is able to make a way where there is no way, to bring about his will for your life. How have you been hurt? How have you been hurt by those closest to you, like Joseph, his brothers? How have you been hurt? Have you been rejected? Have you been forgotten about, overlooked, gossiped about, talked about? And how have you responded to these things? Like me or like Joseph? I pray that the grace of God will come to your heart tonight and you will be able to say, "Lord, I choose to agree with you." Because what was I doing for the first, I won't say 38 years of my life, but let's say 28 years or 25 years. Who was I agreeing with? The devil, right? And so he had a kingdom in my heart. He had a rulership in my heart. And he made me think about my life in a certain way, tunnel vision. And I was living in his bondage rather than the freedom of Jesus Christ, even as a child of God, because of the lie that I was in and the hardness of my heart. But then the grace of God came to me and showed me that no matter what my father did or didn't do or anyone else, it can't affect the will of God for my life. because he will make a way, and he has a vision for you, a plan for you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to be a blessing to those around you. Is there a thief in your heart tonight? Are there bricks in your heart that are holding back the river of life, the river of God's will? I pray tonight that God will give you the grace to be able to come and say, Lord, I want to do two things. First, I want to renounce the lie that I've been believing. I will not agree with the devil any longer. I tear up that contract. Second, Lord, I ask you for the grace to take these bricks out of my heart. I'm going to choose tonight to forgive. Maybe some of you need to forgive. I choose to release bitterness. I choose to release anger. I choose to let go of judgments. And I ask you to come and purify my heart tonight. Do you know that's the only reason I'm here tonight? Is because of the grace of God 20 years ago that came upon my life. What about you? What's God's vision for your life? What does he want to speak to you? Do you know it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, how much is behind you or how much is before you. All of that is irrelevant to God. Can we just let it go and see God for who he is? The Supreme One, for whom time means nothing. What he's after is your heart. And when he gets your heart, it's the avenue to bring about his blessings and provision and will for your life. I can say this. I missed a lot of God's will for my life. I did. I think God had many more opportunities for me when I was younger, in my early 30s and stuff. But I missed them because I was too busy focusing upon my pain, and I was too busy focusing upon my father, and I wasn't focusing upon the Lord. And I had a hard heart, which was holding back the river of life. But you know what? That's okay. Because I know that God is able to restore the years. And I know that God is able to multiply time, multiply opportunity, multiply events, multiply everything to order my life to bring about his will. And that God can bring me to the exact place that he wanted me to be at this point in my life through 100 roads. Because God is not limited. If God was limited, no one could live for him because we've all been wounded. And if the one wound or the bad relationship or the mistake that we made ruins us for God's will, then it's over. But the good thing is God weaves it into your life like a beautiful mosaic. And he says, I'm going to make another road to get you to that place where I've called you to be. And that's my testimony. And that's what I give away. I did agree with the devil for many years as a Christian. And even as a pastor, I did live with a hard heart. I did miss opportunity. I did hurt people because I was hurt. And I was living out of pain instead of the grace of God. I did all of those things until I was about 38 years of age. But God made a way. And he just asked me to do one thing. Scott, agree with me and live my way by my grace. And if you do, I will do the rest. I will make a way where there seems to be no way. What about you tonight? What's your testimony? Maybe you've been really hurt. Maybe you're really hurt tonight. But God is here. God is with you. And he will make a way for you tonight to break agreement with the devil and to remove the bricks from your heart so that his river of life can begin to flow into areas of your life that maybe you've never really experienced the power of God or the blessings of God. Or like me, not only in me, it flowed through me into my father, and he lived God's destiny. I want to pray for this tonight, because this is supernatural living. This is what empowers God in our lives. The great thieves are not out there. The great thieves are right in here. That, please hear me, is good news, isn't it? Because I can do something about my heart, but I can't do anything about the past. I can keep a guard over my heart, but I can't change the way people are going to treat me moving forward. But I can change my response. And as I change my response, I change my destiny. Because God is able to make a way. That's the life of Joseph. What's your life? What does God want to speak to you tonight? What bricks do you need to remove from your heart? What lies do you need to break with the devil? And what vision does God want to give you for the rest of your life? Really, those three things, that's the life of Joseph. And we want to pray into those things now. So first, we're going to break the lie. Second, we're going to remove the bricks. Third, we're going to listen. God, give me a dream. Give me a vision. Show me the way. Because I want what you can do, not what I can do. Do you want that tonight? Because that's his heart for you. Let's stand together, please. I'm actually very thankful to God that the vast majority of my ministry comes out of my own brokenness, comes out of my own sin, struggles, woundedness, lies that I've believed, and things that the Lord has shown me over the years through his scripture and through the Spirit on how we can purposefully get free and team with God to live the life that he's called us to live. And that's what I want to impart to others, and that's what I want to impart to you tonight. Is that you don't have to remain where you are. You don't have to remain on that course. You don't have to remain in those struggles. God has a way. But it has to be God's way. There has to be agreement with him. And that's what we're going to do right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come tonight and bring revelation to our hearts. Lord, maybe many of us have forgiven people many times, and you want to bring that forgiveness to a deeper level tonight. That's a good thing, Lord. We thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you would come now and reveal to us any agreements that we've made with the enemy concerning unforgiveness, judgments, blaming others, bitterness, those in our past, those in our present. I pray that you'd speak to us tonight about that. And I also ask you, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight about any bricks that are in our hearts that you want to remove. Just listen to the Lord. Ask him to show you. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you tonight would find it very hard to forgive or hard to let go of any judgments or bitterness. And we can ask God for grace. Because forgiveness is not saying that what they did was okay. It's just saying, I'm offering you a gift of grace just like I've received from God. And so I want to lead you in a prayer right now. First, of renouncing the lies of the devil. And coming into agreement with God. And then in agreement, we're going to take the bricks out of our hearts tonight. And let the Lord fill us with vision and life. Let's pray now. I just want you to pray out loud after me. Holy Spirit, I choose now to renounce these lies of the devil. Do it now. What are they? What are the lies that you've been believing about other people, about circumstances, about how they've affected your life? Just tear up those lies tonight. Don't give the enemy this room in your life. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Take off that coat of lies and put on the coat of truth and just say, God will make a way. God is with me. God is greater. God has a plan for my life. No power or person in the world can stop God's plan because he will make a way. Embrace the truth tonight in your heart. Come, Holy Spirit. And now let's be empowered by the truth. Let's be empowered by the truth as we choose to live God's way, to partner with him now by enabling his grace to take these bricks out of our hearts. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now, a prayer of forgiveness, a prayer of releasing people. Maybe some of these people aren't even alive anymore, but we can still forgive. And we can still release them from our bitterness and our judgments. And so the first thing we need to do is confess this to the Lord as sin. And then we want to pronounce the release and agree with the Lord. So let's pray that right now. Pray from your heart tonight, agreeing with God. Pray out loud after me. Lord Jesus, I confess tonight that I have had a hard heart. Just confess whatever that is to the Lord. Give it to him. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his cleansing. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just. And he will forgive us of all of our sin and he will cleanse us of our unrighteousness. So be cleansed now. Bring that cleansing, Lord. Bring that forgiveness deep into our hearts, I pray. So first I want to lead us all in a prayer of forgiving others, and then I want to lead us all in a prayer of just letting go of those other things, of bitterness and judgments and anger that we may have towards someone else. Let's begin with forgiveness. Do you believe that God can give you the grace to take this brick out of your heart tonight? Let's agree with God. Just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have forgiven me. I don't deserve it, Lord, but I thank you for this gift. I choose now to give this gift to another. In Jesus' name, I choose to forgive. Now I want you to name the people and why you're forgiving them. And as you do it, just see the grace of God releasing them out of your heart, releasing the brick out of your heart, that wall. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let your grace be sufficient, I pray. If you have trouble, just ask the Lord for grace. Ask the Lord to go deeper in this area of forgiveness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here tonight. Thank you for the grace sufficient. And now I want to ask you to do what Joseph did. He didn't just forgive, he blessed. And he just didn't bless one generation, he blessed two generations. And so I pray that you'll ask God for the grace right now to bless these people. And if they're not alive, then to bless their generations. And the grace of God would come. Do that now. Just pronounce a blessing over them, over their children, over their grandchildren, whatever it is. Bless them to find the Lord if they don't know them. Bless them to prosper. Bless them that the river of life would come in great abundance. Let's move in the opposite spirit of what the enemy would want. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And if there's any bitterness or anger or judgments associated with this, then come before the Lord and just say, Lord, I choose to release it now. Take this brick out of my heart. I don't want a hard heart anymore. Just let the grace of God come to you right now. Holy Spirit, come. Yes. I pray now that the river of life would begin to flow even more. Come, Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord now, what is your vision for the rest of my life? More, Holy Spirit. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Open our ears tonight, Lord. Open our hearts tonight, I pray. Remember, God's will for your life is always too great for you, but it's not too great for Him. Come, Holy Spirit. Make a way, Lord, I pray. Even tonight. Oh, let your voice come. Let your voice come. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let your voice come. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Remember, age is not a barrier. Health is not a barrier. Lack of education is not a barrier. Not enough money is not a barrier, because God will make a way where there is no way to bring about His will for your life. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Bring revelation tonight, I pray. Revelation. Supernatural revelation. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Yes, ask the Lord tonight.
Two, one, 10 on 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.